I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here. By Realtor.com, the home of home search.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason as we enter the 11 o'clock hour here on 95.7 The Game. It is Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com. And Stephen Curry is back, Whitey Gleason, as Curry plays 27 minutes, scores 23 points, struggled a bit from three-point range, but the energy was back inside Chase Center tonight with Curry playing just his third game in the building's history. But the Raptors wind up getting a win, which is something they did quite frequently against the Warriors last year. They won their final four games over at Oracle last year. The final four games they played there, they win the first game that they play here. But tonight, all about Stephen Curry, and a pretty good night, a night where his shooting wasn't quite there, but he did everything else pretty well.
Yeah, Steph put on a show, new energy back in the building, and there's been good energy in this building, especially all things considered all season long, but it was electric tonight. Steph's passing tonight was, it was brilliant. It's not totally reflected in his assist total. He had seven, that's fine, but he made some amazing passes behind the back. He had it all clicking as far as that goes. He was so much more comfortable in the offense than the Warriors were when he played earlier in the year. And it's easy to say, well, that's because of Russell. Obviously, there's a lot of new guys, a lot of unfamiliar players and situations earlier in the year. Tonight, you know, the Warriors, the last couple of wins on the road, they had this offense humming. Steph is so comfortable in that. They shared the ball again tonight. That is definitely an aspect of the game right now that is clicking. They didn't defend especially well, but 34 assists tonight, 7 for Curry, who passed brilliantly, as I said. Eric Paschal had 8 assists tonight.
Yeah, led the Warriors with 8 assists. Stephen Curry had 7. I thought Eric Paschal was fantastic in the ball game tonight. Just 1 of 4 from 3, but he did score 16 points, and he kept the ball moving. I mean, the big question surrounding him would be, all right, how is he going to fit his game into a box a little bit once he's playing with, you know, better players, once he's playing with Steph and eventually Klay Thompson, and how does it work between he and Draymond Green? He's been a much better player when Draymond hasn't been in the lineup, and Draymond missed his fourth consecutive game with this sore knee. But you mentioned it on Warriors Live, and I thought it was a great point. The Warriors keeping Paschal in that bench role, because that's going to be the role that he's probably going to have, even though he played a lot of minutes, 32 yeah. minutes, keeping him in that role that is probably going to translate to next year.
Yeah, get him accustomed to that. I think tonight was really encouraging from this standpoint, and give the Raptors their due. Tonight, the Warriors had the full attention of a really good team, and I know they're a little shorthanded, but we've seen so many times this year where teams don't really give the Warriors their best effort. The Raptors gave the Warriors their best effort tonight, and the Warriors hung in there with them. They kind of fell apart in the fourth quarter. I think the Warriors had they were doing a good job taking care of the basketball, pardon me, but I think they had, gosh, 8 turnovers in the fourth quarter. They really started throwing the ball all over the place. So anyway, that's a really good sign that the Warriors were so competitive against a really good team. One thing, though, I just got to get it off my chest, and I'm not suggesting this had anything to do with the outcome. There were some incredibly poor calls tonight. There were some phantom calls that were made. I can think of three off the top of my head. One, the Warriors challenged, and they won the challenge. There's a couple fouls called that were not fouls at all. There was a trip on Wiggins that was not a trip. There was a block on Bender in which the Toronto player just threw his hip into him. So there are some strange calls tonight. So it was a bad look for the NBA on a nationally televised game. But overall, just a very entertaining contest.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. If you want to weigh in with your thoughts on Stephen Curry's return, again, 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds in 27 minutes. And the Warriors, all systems go from here. You got to figure that they're going to be, you know, slowly having his minutes continue a little bit of an uptick from here. They wanted to keep him anywhere between 24 and 28. Steve Kerr played him a 5-6 minute stretch at the beginning of the first and third quarters. He would bring him back in the second quarter for 3 or 4 minutes, and the fourth quarter 3 or 4 minutes, and then he was able to finish each half, and then eventually the ball game. The three-point shot, well, he did have a four-point play, and he hit two of the most, you know, just perfect Steph Curry-like,
yes,
you know, three-pointers tonight. But overall, and I was looking at the breakdown of his night via ESPN Stats and Info. They did a full breakdown of his each field goal attempt, and they note he had 6 attempts from 30 feet, which tied for the most in a game in his career. He was 0 for 5 on uncontested three-pointers in the game. So he had 5 uncontested threes. He missed all 5 of them. He was 2 for 6 when defended by Norman Powell, and also 2 for 6 when defended by Pat McCaw. But, yeah, he missed open looks, which I think is just it's a testament to rust.
By the way, Norman Powell, whatever Canadian people have for breakfast, that's what the Warriors were to him tonight. He destroyed the Warriors.
Career high tonight. 37 for Norman Powell, and he made 4 threes out of 8 attempts, 13 of 20 overall. And, yeah, he was a handful for the Warriors. He hit some big shots in the finals going back to last June. And hit some big shots in this ball game tonight as well. So, yeah, Steph Curry missing some open ones. I thought he got a lot of good looks. What did you think of Andrew Wiggins tonight?
I thought Andrew Wiggins made some big threes in the fourth quarter, which is admirable because he'd been struggling to that point. He came into this game with a real cold snap, and his three-point shooting had continued. Then he made a couple big ones. Overall, I thought he had a pretty solid game, and I thought, you know, if you're looking for how he and Steph were going to play together, some positive signs there. 21 points, 9 rebounds for him tonight, had a couple of assists. He did not shoot especially well, but he made some big shots. So I thought he had a pretty good night. I think the signature Curry shot from this game would be with 3:20 left in the half when he threw in a shot from the right sideline to beat the shot clock, and it went in. That was a signature moment. But as far as the threes go, is it just me or did the Warriors shoot a lot of threes tonight?
The Warriors, yeah, a franchise record 52 three-point attempts.
52 three-pointers.
So Curry was back and he shot 12. But, yeah, 52, franchise record at one point toward the end of the night as the Warriors were pushing 50. I said, are they trying to be the Rockets?
Yeah, you pointed that out to me.
I said, wow. I mean, it's just and look, in a year now that has 19 games to go, for the Warriors, maybe they are trying to spread the floor a little bit more and just see if they can get away with maybe playing that kind of a style. Look, it is going to be a very different basketball team that the Warriors put on the floor next year compared to what they've put on the floor even the last 3, 4, 5 years before this year. So maybe they have to find a way to function in a new fashion. Tonight, another night, a second consecutive game where they actually knocked down more three-pointers than their opponent. Of course, they had a big-time advantage the game in Denver. Tonight, though, the Warriors knocked down one more, but it took them 11 more attempts to hit one more. So not quite as efficient.
It didn't seem forced to me. I don't know about you. When you pointed out how many they'd shot, it was a little bit surprising. Point being, they took those three-pointers within the flow of the offense, I thought. I don't know how you – it didn't seem to me like I wasn't thinking, oh, my goodness, they're casting.
I really didn't
threes.
Notice it until the end of the game. I thought, whoa, they were, I think, 48 or 49. I thought, wow, that's a lot.
9 for Wiggins at his attempts, 12 for Lee, 12 for Curry, and Mulder shot 8 threes for the total of 52, a new franchise record. By the way, kind of a mixed bag tonight for Damian Lee, right? I mean, he had 23 points, hit 5 of 12, but then missed 2 free throws, committed a couple of clear path fouls as well.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap-up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, inside Chase Center. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as he met with the media down in the Bill King interview room, and he discussed all things Stephen Curry's return.
Steve, what were your impressions of Steph?
I thought he looked great. He moved well. It was not the ideal set of circumstances for him. You know, we were taking him in and out of the lineup to keep his minutes down and to, you know, keep his stints shorter. He's not used to that. But he obviously gave us a huge lift, and he changes the whole game when he's out there. So our fans could see it. They could feel it. You know, we're a different team, obviously, when he's on the court. So great to have him back, and it'll be fun, you know, the next week or so to continue to build up his minutes and get him back into the groove.
Steve, a lot of your guys have either not played with Steph or played limited time with Steph. What do you think the biggest adjustment is for them when he is on the floor?
Well, you know, it's even an adjustment for me, you know, because this year we have called a lot more plays without Steph. And so there's a different rhythm to the game. You know, when Steph's on the floor, we're not going to call as many plays. So guys have to get used to just running down the floor and spacing and setting screens for him. And then it's going to be, you know, drive and kick and move the ball and play. We've had to, you know, with the injuries, we've had to call a lot more plays in the half court. So we've got to find the right rhythm now between those two things, when he's on the floor and when he's off the floor. So execution is the big one. And we'll get there. We'll get better. I thought tonight Toronto just turned up the volume in the fourth quarter defensively, and it's a great experience for our young players, especially to feel what amounted to a playoff atmosphere where the defense ramps up and you got to execute and you got to stay poised and all that. So it was a really, really good night for us to feel that and to experience it.
Did it seem to you like he was really kind of testing that left hand? I mean, he threw a bunch of passes with the left hand and the dribble.
No, I don't give that stuff a second thought. He looks exactly the same to me. He's always used his left hand really well as a passer and a finisher, and I didn't notice anything different about it.
Steve, the vibe in the building tonight seemed a little bit different. How was it in the locker room pregame and in huddles during the game, and how was it on the bench?
There was just a different level of anticipation and excitement. To me, it feels like, you know, it's on again. You know, we're now through the woods, as I said before the game. We can start looking ahead and using these games to prepare ourselves for trying to reach a higher level of play. And for the most part, we did that tonight, but we also got a great lesson against the defending champs, what it's like to play at that level. All we talked about before the game was transition defense. But until you face that kind of speed coming downhill at you, it doesn't matter what the coaches say. You know, we just show it on film and try to get them ready. But that's different than having, you know, Siakam and Lowry coming right at you. So we're going to have to reach a different level of defensive awareness, game planning, gamesmanship. I thought we fell into a lot of fouls that we could have avoided. But those are all things our young guys are going to learn.
How do you think Wiggins looked in his first game next to Steph?
I thought he looked great. You know, he hit a couple big threes down the stretch to keep us in the game. He rebounded well. He defended. you know, he's a versatile defender for us, and in that kind of game against that kind of size and versatility, to have Andrew to be able to switch him on to anybody on their side is just a huge dynamic that won't show up in the stat sheet. So I thought Andrew looked good, and you know he's going to get better as he plays with Steph and with the rest of our guys. And I'm anxious to get Draymond back so that Andrew can feel that dynamic as well. But all in all, you know, it was a really good night for our team. I would have loved to have come out on top, but some great stuff on the tape to learn from and to take a step forward from.
Steve, you had some bad turnovers late, but you had 34 assists. I'm just wondering what you thought of the general ball movement.
It was great. These guys are all willing passers. We've got a lot of talented players who can put it on the floor and find the open guy. Marquise made some big passes late, found Andrew in the corner. Damian and Michael, Eric were all, getting downhill. I think Eric had a bunch of assists. Yeah, he had 8 of them. So all this stuff, we've been working on all year. Our players have gotten better with, and now that we have Steph out there, you can see it's going to make us better. It's going to pay off. But we have to make sure we keep working and keep using the rest of this season to get better.
Steve, it's been a lot of years now where you've been in a situation where you've basically had to tell Steph, I know you want to play, but we're going to do what's best for you and sit down and, not play 40 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. Knowing who he is and how he operates, does it ever get any easier this time? Was it different knowing he wanted to play and you having to say, even if it means I got to be the bad guy, we're going to keep your minutes down, et cetera, et cetera?
There was only one time, really, and I think that was – early in the second quarter, he had just made a 3, and we took him out, and he kind of looked at me like, But we had talked about it before the game. We wanted him to close the half and the game, and the only way to keep him at 28 minutes or less was to be able to get him out early enough and then bring him back. And so he understood. He fought it a little bit, but he understood. So the good thing is he came out of the game feeling good, and we can ramp up the minutes a little bit from here. Of course. He's always going to do that. All right, thanks, everybody.
All right, so Steve Kerr there at the end saying, yeah, they're going to ramp up the minutes from here. They did have to – look, there's only a couple of ways to do it if you're going to separate it and have him play at the end. You can either have him play the first 6 or 7 and the last 6 or 7 of the half and do that in both halves, or you have to bring him back and then play him a 3 or 4 minute burst and basically split it into two 4 minute bursts.
Yeah, as we said on Warriors Live, they wanted to avoid a Zion Williamson situation, wanted to make sure he could finish. I didn't expect them to adhere so rigidly to that the minutes restriction for Steph, but to their credit, they did. By the way, how about Coach Kerr? It feels like it's on again.
Yeah. That was the money quote.
Yeah.
I think tonight.
It feels like it's on again.
And it did feel like it was on again in this building. It really did. I mean, you had the Warriors chant. I mean, it was as loud and as pronounced as at any point, I thought, during a regular season game as it's been in the last 5 or 6 years at that point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's an iconic player, and everyone missed him. I think sometimes you maybe take him a little bit for granted, and then when he's not here, oh, my goodness, it's great to have him back.
Well, and he came back, and Steve says it's on again. I mean, you could feel it from the fans. Like,
yep.
It felt like, no, tonight was a game just because Steph was playing. Even if you are playing the defending champs, it felt like the fans tonight had their swagger back a little bit. Like, no, the Warriors can win this game just because Steph is here.
Yeah.
And, on a lot of nights, I don't think Warrior fans have walked into this building this year thinking that was something that could possibly happen.
They've been desperate at times for something to cheer about. And tonight, Steph Curry and the Warriors gave them a lot to cheer about, even though ultimately the Raptors were a little too much.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We will hear from Stephen Curry coming up here as well. We'll also hear from Andrew Wiggins. We're going to be with you here, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game until midnight. So plenty of time for phone calls, and that's where Mo in Danville checks in. Mo, you are on 95.7 The Game on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Mo.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going tonight?
Doing well.
How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I was at the game tonight, just driving back right now. Nice, easy traffic on the way home, so it's great. But, you know, a couple observations. You know, I think seeing Steph out there and seeing the energy, I think that's awesome. Obviously, you know, the team itself without Steph in there is interesting, but, you know, the final result was predictable. However, the 24 minutes or 28 minutes that Steph was in there, I noticed that he was very aggressive in his first game back, kind of getting to the basket, not settling for, you know, kind of step back threes or really, you know, hiding himself on the offense. He was very involved, and I'm curious to understand if, like, with Steve Kerr's press conference saying, like, you know, let's ramp up the minutes, I'm actually curious to understand if that's really what's going to happen, because the way he's attacking the rim is good, but at the same time, you don't want to risk this with the team we have on the court, plus the fact that Steph's got his legs underneath him predominantly from his conditioning. So I just want to get your guys' opinion. Like, would you want to see him escalate his minutes right now and get back to 35, 38 minutes a game towards the end of the season, or do you feel like, you know, wrapping him up after, you know, a few games and put him in bubble wrap is the right decision to make? Because, you know, the result's going to be inevitable in terms of what is going to happen on the court. And, yes, it's exciting. I think from a fan experience perspective, it's great. But I think from a business point of view, it's really important that we consider the long-term impacts of using him in the offense that's out there versus the offense that's going to be there next year. So I'll take your comments off the line, but appreciate your feedback.
Thanks, Mo. Appreciate the call. Look, I think Steph wants to play, and Steph's going to play. And I think that's just the way it's going to be. And I think you could make a case that him playing tonight and playing Saturday in this building and playing Tuesday in this building and playing Thursday in this building, there's a benefit to that, too, that goes beyond just the outcome, as Mo mentions. And that's, hey, the fans want to see him play, and he wants to play in front of these fans. I don't think it's going to be 38 minutes. I think it's probably going to wind up being around 34. And look, they'll pick and choose. I don't think they're going to get carried away with it. But I do think, you know, Steph, he kind of said it again today. He wants to play every game before, you know, at shoot around. They talked about maybe some of the back to backs and maybe give him 3 or 4 games off out of the 20, now 19 that are left. But he didn't want any part of that.
Yeah. And Mo, I thought Steph took the ball to the basket as much as he did tonight, in part because of the way Toronto defended. They put a lot of pressure on the basketball on the perimeter. And that's how you attack that. If they're overplaying you on the basketball, you try to get by them and drive. At times, Toronto, the way they had their defense set up in the middle of the floor, Steph would come off a screen, and then the post player guarding the screener, he was right on Steph. I mean, it was almost a double team. So they had their whole defense geared to Steph, and I think that's one reason why he took the ball to the basket as many times as he did, is because he was really the focal point of their defense, and they were exerting a lot of pressure out on the ball on the perimeter.
And he was taking the ball to the basket in an attempt to kick it out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
that's
look,
part of the offense, too, draw and kick.
If
yeah.
you wind up looking at his final shooting numbers, you know, 12 of his 16 shots were 3-pointers.
Yeah, collapse
still
the defense to you, and yeah, find open shooters.
But as you mentioned at the top of the show, his passing was fantastic tonight, and he did wind up with 7 assists. So, there was one moment, to Mo's point, where he got fouled under the basket, and he took kind of an awkward fall.
Yeah, you kind of,
and I kind of went ooh, like, and yeah. and it reminded me, and it is a reminder. As much as look, Steph wants to play, and the Warriors are on board with it, and look, he's healthy, and a player can get injured at any point. There is still some risk that the Warriors are taking in having him be out here, because if they wind up somehow in a situation where he takes some kind of a major injury that has an impact next year, I mean, they will be widely second-guessed for the decision to put him out there, even though he wants to be out there.
I think essentially there's no in-between. You play him or you don't. And if you play him, what I mean is then
– you're playing him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're playing him, and it's normal tonight, maybe a few less minutes, but eventually it's
exactly
going to be 34, 35, and – and
there's
you just
no
go
in-between
from there. Maybe
well,
you give him a night
him,
off.
Yeah.
Maybe give him one night off or two. Maybe it's not going to be 4 or 5, as we talked about, you know, before he actually spoke to it earlier. But that just one awkward fall, and obviously he had the one awkward fall back in October, to where he had to miss the 4 months and the 58 games that he did. I just the thought was, boy, there is, and again, I get it. The Warriors are on board with it. He's on board with it. He's healthy. He wants to play. That's why he's playing. But I had that flash in my mind.
Sure.
Of if something did happen, boy, what would the conversation be then?
And I thought it was very interesting, Coach Kerr's response to the question. It was a fair question, but I felt the same way. The question about, well, did he look any different? Was he overusing his left hand? And Steve Kerr said, I just don't even want to talk about that. I don't think there's anything to that. And we're done with it. I'm so over that.
He's Whitey Gleason. I'm John Dickinson. It's Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Continuing to react to Stephen Curry's return after missing the last 58 games. Raptors, by the way, they got the win against the Warriors tonight, 121-113. The Warriors with their, I know we'd been talking about the 9-game streak going back to 2001. Well, now that is a 10-game home losing streak, Whitey, and the 10-game home losing streak to dip to 7-25 here. Now the longest home losing streak for the Warriors since the 97-98 season. So we keep going deeper and deeper.
Bring on the Sixers.
Now been 22 years since they last lost 10 in a row, and that came when they also lost 11 in a row. I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but Philadelphia did win in Sacramento tonight. The Sixers, I didn't realize this. I know they've not been a very good road team this year, and I believe only have two home losses on the year. The Sixers hadn't won a road game in about a month, but they won just up the road in Sacramento. So I don't know if that makes the game more difficult for the Warriors on Saturday or not, but the Sixers were kind of a desperate team tonight. They're playing shorthanded, and they went and got one.
Is there a chance Embiid could play on Saturday?
I don't believe so. I know he was scheduled to be reevaluated. I never saw anything that came out of that, but we'll have to check on that. We'll get you an update on that, but I don't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, another nationally televised game, so the place will be live once again.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason will come back. We'll hear from Stephen Curry, the man himself, as he met with the media after this one. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason back here inside Chase Center. Raptors beat the Warriors 121-113 as Toronto outscored the Dubs 32-25 in the fourth quarter after the Warriors had made it a one-point game going to the fourth quarter. All eyes on Stephen Curry as he returns to action. 27 minutes for Steph, a 23-7-7 evening. And let's go ahead and hear from the man of the night, Stephen Curry, as he met with the media downstairs here at Chase Center following the game.
Steph, how did it feel to be out there again after 4 months?
It felt great. It was a lot of energy, just anticipation for tonight, and just getting back out there on the floor, just seeing what was going to happen. It was kind of a cool moment with, again, just the excitement, energy in the building. And I didn't really know what to expect, how to handle like the minute restriction and all that. Just trying to make my first shot and just get comfortable out there. But throughout the 27 minutes, I felt good. So I'm excited to be back out there. And, you know, we had some good moments. Obviously, Toronto is a championship team that has a lot of chemistry, and they know how to win. So for us, it was a good step in the right direction. Everybody just competing, and we can build off of this.
I know you throw lefty behind the back passes, lefty passes, but it seemed like you threw about 12 or 15 of them tonight. Was that?
Have you seen me play for 10 years?
You know,
11
I have.
Years? I love doing that.
Was it more? It seemed like it was almost you came in with a purpose to see that tonight.
No, I was just reading plays, and I kind of talked about it leading into the game. I was trying to be out there, not thinking about it. I need to make that pass, make it, and no hesitation. It was a good feeling throwing the first one and just feeling my hand be where it's supposed to be and make an on-target pass. And so that made me smile a little bit for sure. Q, I was working out a couple of days ago, and I was working on those type of passes, and I wanted to work on some more, but Q shut me down. He's like, we're not going to have any of those the first game. Just keep it simple. And then my first real, like, pass, I threw that. So I'm sure he cracked a smile too.
Steph, could you describe Just what kind of support you got, not only here, but from well wishes from around the league.
I mean, it's a brotherhood throughout, and I know everybody wants to see everybody healthy and playing. So I don't really follow the social media talk or all that type of stuff. But in terms of people hitting me, you know, wishing me luck and knowing, you know, how long the rehab process was, you know, that's a good feeling. So, and even playing against, the, you know, Toronto, knowing what happened last June and that back and forth. I know a lot of guys on that team personally, so it was a cool vibe, you know, competing like that. And again, just excited to get back out there.
Steph, would you call that rise?
Did you was waiting 4 months for that one?
Did you feel missed out there? It seemed like Chase was like ready to give you all the adoration. Did you feel it from them?
For sure. We've been together for 11 years, and obviously, I've never been out this long while the season's going on. So, you know, with the new building and being on the sidelines cheering for so long and just trying to get back out there, it was definitely fun. So, again, a lot of energy in the building, and, you know, I appreciate that, you know, so much in terms of getting to play in front of the best fans in the league. And, you know, regardless of how this season's going, you wouldn't have known walking in this building tonight. So that was fun.
Steph, you mentioned you've never missed that much time during the season. I'm just curious what your time off was like. Obviously, you want to get back on the court, but you also get a little more time with your family. Just kind of what was that process like?
Yeah, you kind of deal with the new reality as it comes. Obviously, coming into the season, 4 games in, I was excited about trying to help lead the team where we wanted to go, chasing playoffs and all that, but it's taken away. You got to be productive in all aspects, you know, while you're out through rehab and obviously, like you said, the opportunity to appreciate life as well outside of basketball. So I'm happy to be back in my happy place for sure. But a lot of good, you know, happened over these last 4 months.
Steph Kerr clearly wanted to have you on the floor with Wiggins all the time. What was that like? It certainly seemed like you were looking for, you were finding him, especially on the in the corner there. Did you feel a chemistry with Wiggins?
Yes and no. Like, I know some of the plays kind of happen that way, and you just, again, read the situation and try to just make the right play. Honestly, I didn't have any plan coming to the game. I was just going to shoot when I was open, drive, you know, if I wasn't, and really just get comfortable with the spacing and again, just try to make the right play. So as we continue to go, you know, these last, 19 games now, I'll start try to be more purposeful about some of the calls that we make and trying to build that chemistry as we go forward. But there's a lot of flow to what we were doing. I think everybody was just excited to see, you know, the spacing and the domino effect of you know, how they defended me and we can build off of that.
Steph, were you nervous? Did you have butterflies? And if you did, what could you compare it to another time? Is it like when you were a rookie, when you were playing in your first finals?
No, it was just totally different because I was more anxious than anything just because excuse me. through Sunday, I thought I was playing and getting my mind ready for that. Then going on to Santa Cruz and kind of just watching the clock, waiting for tonight to show up. So it's more anxiousness than anything just to get back out there. I got right to it. I think like within the first 3 minutes, I got tripped and had to land on my hand and got back up. So that was a good feeling, you know, having confidence, just being able to take that hit. But it was definitely weird. Everything seemed to be going pretty fast. Just when you can't simulate, you know, that game intensity and speed, and you try to do all you can with the workouts. But just getting out there, just getting comfortable, it was fun.
Did anything surprise you, good or bad? And take us through that that buzzer-beating three that you hit in the second quarter there.
I mean, the bad was just having to deal with the short burst because I felt better than I expected and felt like I obviously could have played more minutes. Got to stick to the plan just this first game. But that was the hardest part to kind of deal with where you're trying to get a rhythm. I think I got subbed out after making – I think twice after making a shot. So – no reaction from coach as I'm scowling at him on the way by. But that was the hardest adjustment in terms of trying to get a rhythm, but knowing you got to you know, adhere to the minute restriction. The shot was just a kind of a bang bang play. I didn't really expect EP to throw it, but I got my feet underneath me and shot it. And you saw the smile I had on my face. It was kind of a cool moment. Just you kind of catch it in rhythm and flow and shoot it.
All right, so Stephen Curry there as he finishes with 23 points. Not really feeling the chemistry yet with Andrew Wiggins. I thought that was an interesting answer coming off of, you know, yeah, yes and no, not really focused on it, just trying to get back out there and play.
Yeah, I mentioned the turnovers in the fourth quarter. The Warriors had, I believe, 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter. But Steph, for all the focus on his left hand, is it numb? You know how many turnovers he had tonight? He had 1.
Yeah.
He had a single turnover. So I know it's just one game, but so far, so good as far as all that goes. And he also made the point about throwing passes with my left hand. Have you never seen me play before? That's what I do.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot.
And
with varying degrees of success.
I mean, I know. I think it'd be a good thing if he threw fewer one-handed left-handed passes. But what do I know?
Steve Kerr, I agree with you from time to time with that one. All in all, Stephen Curry trying to work out some of the kinks, and he wound up having 23 points to go with 7 boards and 7 assists. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll come back. We'll hear from Andrew Wiggins. Still time for a phone call or two. It is Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason back here inside Chase Center. Raptors beat the Dubs 121-113, so the Warriors now 10 straight losses on the home floor. They'll have another chance on Saturday with the Philadelphia 76ers in town.
You know what I want to see Saturday?
A win?
I want to see Draymond Green play.
Yeah, I think...
I want to see Draymond.
I think that's the next phase of this thing, right? You go get Andrew Wiggins, you bring back Stephen Curry, and now you add Draymond Green to that mix, and you say, okay, how are those three going to look together? You know Klay Thompson isn't going to play. And then you start to pencil guys into some bench roles, and I think the Warriors have already done that with Eric Paschal. I mean, Marquese Chriss, I thought he was maybe – people worried about Steph Curry being a little too amped. I thought Marquese Chriss was a little bit too amped early on in the ballgame.
He settled down, though, and had a nice game.
Settled down, did have a nice game. I mean, and again, as we've talked about so many times, you can start to see the pieces fit, right? Stephen Curry and Wiggins, and when Draymond comes back, and Paschal is a bench player, Damian Lee is going to start at the two because Klay Thompson is out. And then everybody else is just – you're just trying to see, are they a third stringer? Are they – an up-and-down guy maybe in the G League next year, a two-way player. There's some open spots available, but I think there's just some clear-cut, delineated, you know, roles in pencil, if you will.
Yeah, and it's so hard to evaluate some of these young, unproven players when they're playing against teams that aren't necessarily giving you their best effort, which, again, is one of the reasons why some of the efforts tonight were so encouraging. You mentioned Marquese Chriss. Marquese Chriss had a very nice game tonight. He also, by the way, he had 4 assists. I know Steve Kerr has talked about what a good passer he is, and that's probably been the most surprising aspect of this surprising Marquese Chriss season. So for Chriss and Paschal to have as productive nights as they had tonight against a really good team that was really trying to beat you, that's very encouraging.
Everybody that played for the Warriors tonight had at least 2 assists except for Michael Mulder. Everybody did. Juan Toscano-Anderson had 3. Damian Lee had 3. Dragan Bender had 4.
Sharing the ball.
If Dragan Bender could make a shot, I think he might be a keeper, but he just has not played well.
No, he made a dunk and then a couple other opportunities that he was not able to convert tonight. I still think the big key with him is making threes. If he can make threes, you know, 34% or higher, I think there's a spot for him in the NBA. And maybe with the Warriors, but he was 0-for-3 tonight, and he's got a line drive, a flat shot going. If he can't make that shot, I don't think he's going to be around much longer.
The Warriors with their 33rd different starting lineup.
Wow.
This season tonight with Stephen Curry back in the starting lineup. But as we mentioned on Warriors Live, Steph playing and only three other players that were even on the roster the last time he played are still on the roster and were active tonight.
Doesn't that seem like a lifetime ago when he played against the Suns and got hurt, and watching the Warriors in those first few games? And I know they actually had a big win on that road trip, but they looked like they were still trying to figure out so many different things. And now at least they have a much clearer idea going forward of who's supposed to do what. Of course, the big questions are going to be answered in the offseason too.
Yeah, and we mentioned those roster spots that are still available as far as, look, I think there are three rotation spots open, and that's even if you count Pascal and Lee as having rotation spots. Those three, and you count Chris and the you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond and Wiggins, I still think there's three rotation slots available.
Yeah, you know, one of the players, and we didn't talk about this in Warriors Live, but one of the players that's really going to have to adjust to Steph's return is Jordan Poole.
Yeah, and he did not play well tonight.
No, and he had limited minutes. You know, he's been playing a lot.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot and been, you know, playing better, but he's going to have the ball, I think, in his hands a little bit less. He almost becomes a little bit more of a guy that's going to have to catch and shoot to be successful. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Alex Scott and Cody Pasby back in our San Francisco studios. For Tim Jordan setting us up out here at Chase Center, for Whitey Gleason, I'm John Dickinson. We will be back with you Saturday, both 9 to noon with Warriors this week, yeah, and at 4 o'clock with Warriors Live. That's going to do it. Raptors beat the Dubs tonight in Steph Curry's return. 121-113. You heard it right here. 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.